Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Morning, Robert.
Did you enjoy your long weekend?
Well, it wasn't a long weekend. I had a client call on Friday. I knew this would come through.
How long did that take?
Nice to be back with you.
How long did that take then?
About an hour or so.
Yeah, so you worked for an hour on Friday and then took the rest of the afternoon off, did you?
No. Working full out. Absolutely at 110%.
Okay, markets a bit mixed last week, and we've got all this hullabaloo about the new vaccines, but the backdrop is still that the global economy is still in a very precarious position.
Yeah, exactly. I think risk sentiment oscillated between vaccine euphoria and virus reality last week. Familiar pattern playing out. Start of the week, investors greeted positive vaccine update with this wave of optimism. Equity market surged. The rotation into cyclical value stocks was extended. However, as the week went on, the coronavirus data became more disturbing and fears that tighter restrictions would stifle the fragile economic recovery in the fourth quarter rose. Markets also shaken by rising tensions, I suppose, between the Federal Reserve and the US Treasury. This after the Treasury Secretary refused to extend a number of emergency lending facilities set up by the Fed. Over the week, the S&P 500 was in negative territory. It was down 0.8%. Small caps have been outperforming the technology sector. Over the past month, Nasdaq is up around about 8%. Russell 2000 has returned nearly double that. Europe's been outperforming the US. Stock 600 trading at a nine-month high was up 1.2% last week. It's risen for three straight weeks, registering its longest weekly winning streak since July. Stock 600 is up around 14% this month, on course for its strongest monthly rally on record. Vaccine continues, as you say, to be the key. Currently 50 companies around the world working on vaccine candidates, 15 of which are in late stage trials. In the space of 2 weeks, expectations of a viable vaccine have accelerated the road to normality, maybe, I think, radically quicker than previously predicted. 2021 growth forecasts are rising as a result of that.
And the FTSE futures up 0.5% at the moment.
Yeah, we are looking at a stronger start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE up 32 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 89 points. CAC in Paris up 40 points. We've heard from AstraZeneca this morning. They're the latest one to come through with a vaccine, although the efficacy rate of headline I saw was around 70%, which appears at first glance to be less than we've seen elsewhere. But certainly it appears that science can provide an answer to the pandemic, although we need to be realistic around timeframes, of course. Vast array of approval, manufacturing and distribution challenges that still need to be overcome.
Yeah, and AstraZeneca saying that one can be kept in the fridge, you know, next to the wine.
Moderna actually can be kept at refrigerated temperatures as well, actually, hasn't it? So it doesn't have to be the super cold one that we heard from Pfizer-BioNTech. So that could make it easier for distribution.
These are the ones that are using messenger RNA.
I don't think AstraZeneca does
no,
use
no,
the messenger.
No, the Moderna ones.
Oh, yes, and the Pfizer one does as well, actually.
It's clever stuff, isn't it?
It is clever stuff, and I think the useful element, you know, again, moving well beyond my realm of knowledge here, but the useful element is using that process. If we do see mutations or changes to the virus, you can put the new strain in and come up with the new scientists will be, you know, smashing their heads against the wall listening to this. But you can put the new strain in and come up with a new vaccine answer, apparently.
I was trying to get my head around it over the weekend, and it's basically ribonucleic acid, which is, and when you inject it into the bloodstream, it mimics the spike on the coronavirus virus and then copies it. And then so when the body encounters this kind of coronavirus spike, it just gets rid of it.
Oh, you're really getting into it now, aren't you?
Something like that.
I think you could lead the communication on the vaccine. You know, all these vaccine people are against it. You could sort of talk them around.
Well, will you be queuing up to have it, or are you a bit reluctant?
I think I would take it, I have to say. I think so. I think you have a duty to do it. It'd be interesting. I was reading some thoughts, and you'll know more than me on this being in France, but in France, they're a lot more aggressive in encouraging people, certainly children, to have vaccines. And am I right in saying there's limits? Can children not go to school if they've not had certain vaccines?
I think that's right. I don't think you're admitted to either the creche or primary school unless you've had your vaccinations.
Yeah, so, you know, this idea that it would be compulsory may not be the case, but I think you could see some encouragements in certain areas or people banned from doing certain things unless they've had it, I suppose.
Right, on to your favourite subject, Bitcoin.
Another dramatic week of moves in the cryptocurrency space. Bitcoin hit a three-year high on Friday, trading above $18,000 level last week for the first time since December 2017, representing a near, I think it's 250% jump since January in sight of that all-time high of $20,000. Although we should remember Bitcoin's 12-year history has been characterised by meteoric rises and equally impressive crashes. You remember in 2016, Bitcoin lost 80% of its value. Why is it rising now? Well, I guess you can take your pick from various explanations that have been proffered, including diversification, correlation with other asset classes is low, currency debasement, distrust of central banks, increased use of electronic payments. So there's no doubt investors are looking at Bitcoin once again. We continue to be cautious. I know we've got some friends down there in Monaco who are a little bit more positive, but as a currency, I think it's not a reliable store of value. It's limited as a medium of exchange, not backed by an economy or regulated by a central bank. As an investment, it suffers from an inability to value, as there are no cash flows or coupons that are generated. Also suffers from outsized volatilities we've seen, lack of transparency, and of course those security issues as well. Our view is that Bitcoin continues to be a speculative gamble. Investors would be better focusing on the underlying blockchain technology.
Yeah, Ethereum's creeping up as well. That was down to $300 just a few months ago, up to $580.30 this morning.
Yeah, it's quite incredible. Listen, if you like volatility, if you like movements, if you think you can time these things, then that there are opportunities for investors. You just don't want to be the last one holding it, one would suspect.
Okay, and a big week for Rishi Sunak in the UK, and the austerity word is being bandied about again.
Yeah, we're not there yet. I think it's going to be a message of short-term gain, actually, in terms of public spending, but long-term pain in terms of the nation's finances. Wednesday, we get the UK spending review, the Office for Budget Responsibility's new forecast. Focus will be on any further emergency virus-related policies for 2021-22. Details of the government's investment infrastructure plans, hints at the need for future fiscal consolidation, I think, will start to seep in a little bit. The OBR expects to confirm the worst performance of the UK economy in 300 years, with 11% contraction in 2020. Also provide estimates of the amount of economic scarring on the public finances from the pandemic. The economy not expected to recover to its 2019 peak before the end of 2022. And of course, UK debt now larger than the economy for the first time since the 1960s.
Well, there's all this cash the government's spending, not only on propping the economy up because of the pandemic, but also this massive boost to defence spending. The money's going to have to be paid back somehow, and it's going to be taxation, isn't it?
It's going to be taxation. If they're saying that it's not going to be austerity, it's not going to be spending cuts, then it's got to be taxes. How quickly that'll kick in is probably the debate, I suppose, these days. We need to make sure the recovery is assured. We've gone to a lot of effort, we've gone to a lot of expense. To throw that away at this point certainly wouldn't make sense, but as we've said many times before, at some point the nation's finances will need to be put back on a sustainable path. And also, of course, investors will be looking at that debt pile and the long-term implications for that. Of course, funding that debt has been cheap, helped by central banks who've reduced interest rates quite dramatically. Does there come a point where that starts to become a concern, inflation starts to rise, and therefore investors demand higher returns, and that spiral could then start to put real pressure on elevated levels of debt?
It's also a question of timing. I mean, the sooner the government introduces any tax rises, the better, because the election's still 4 years away, and it would give the public time to digest it. So, I mean, if they do it next year or the year after, then the effects start becoming felt in the run-up to the next general election.
Well, you start to see the economic cycle start to interact with the political cycle, and that can always be dangerous, I think, from a policymaker perspective. So I think you're right. They'll want to push ahead with this. They'll want to be on a surer footing as you head towards the next election. But we've got some big hurdles to overcome before we get to that point.
Brexit. Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.33, euro dollar coming in just below 1.19. Going to get €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Speak to you in the morning. Hank Potts from Barclays.